In addition, we want to know what the juveniles do in the wild. And one of the things that we think is that the juveniles might themselves be predators on one of the key species in the sort of ecological food web that sea stars are in, because kelp is disappearing and urchins are exploding, and urchins are known prey of the adults. We want to know whether or not the urchin juveniles, which I happen to also rear and have studied, whether those are prey of the sea star juveniles. And we're going to, if we get enough sea star juveniles, we can start these feeding trials and see whether or not having sunflower stars back in the ecosystem will not only mean that the adults might feed on the exploding adult sea urchin populations, but in the juvenile stage as well, which could be an additional level of possible control. So those are the things we're planning on doing.
Cool. And in this process for you, has there been a point, were there moments where you were just blown away by what you were seeing? Because this is such a new process. I'm imagining you must be occasionally just seeing stuff and going, wait, whoa, you know, like, yeah. Give me one or two moments like that in this process.
Well, first is I study metamorphosis, and the way in which this species goes through its transition is just awesome. And actually seeing that in little dishes, we developed this protocol where I use half pint wide mouth canning jars, which are really good because they give enough space for the larvae to swim around and behave, but they can fit under a microscope, and so I can see everything happening. And watching them undergo this transition was really amazing. And what triggered them? I mean, what we found out was that if you take those little canning jars and you put them in the tanks with the adults for a week, and then you expose the larvae to it, they love it. They settle quickly. And that was not only great for the project because we need to know how to make them undergo this transition, but watching that occur and how effective that was, it was really fun and amazing to see, and the transition is just incredible. The juveniles hold on stronger than anything that I've ever seen, which is really an amazing thing. So, like, you know, when they undergo this transition, they've decided that this is where they want to settle down. These things are like, I'm not moving from here. And they, like, glue themselves down to the substrate in ways that I've never seen anything like it.
So explain, just so I understand, when you're looking at that, what are you seeing when they settle and when they metamorph? What is it going from a little dot to a star shape, or what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, so that's what it would look like to your naked eye. I'm looking at it under the microscope, and it's a completely different story. My lab assistant refers to them as being sort of akin to Cthulhu in terms of like having all these sort of like crazy flexible limbs, and they do look like that a little bit. They have these really, really long flexible arms that they wave around in the plankton, and it's kind of mysterious, not knowing exactly what they're for. What we saw is that when they undergo their settlement process, they settle with those arms sort of facing away from the surface that they're attached to, and they wave them up in the water column too. So it's not clear what they're doing, but they may be sort of like sampling the local environment that they've attached down in. So this is at a stage when they still could decide to not settle here and move somewhere else. And that decision, they may be aided by this sort of sampling process that they're doing with their arms. It's really cool to watch. So, and then that all gets, when they do decide to settle, that all of that material gets sucked down into a forming little juvenile. And so they, you know, they're massively shape-shifting over the course of a day, and you can watch the entire thing happen. But if you were looking at it with your naked eye, it would look like a slightly larger thing that looked like it had things sticking off of it, and then it would go down to a small dot. But looking under the microscope, you see this tremendous process occur. So that was probably the coolest thing.
That is cool. When you say they decide, I mean, what kind of brains do they have?
Well, I mean, you know, funny that you picked up on that. I looked in the literature and people talk about bacteria deciding things. I mean, I think the, like, technically the decision process is an organism faced with alternatives, and it, you know, or even probably an artificial organism faced with alternatives and assessing the situation to be able to choose one path, go down one path or another. That's technically a decision. Their brains are really dispersed nervous systems, but they don't have any brain in the way we normally recognize it, but they do have concentrated neurons. They have a ring of neurons around the mouth and neurons scattered throughout the whole body. And like I told you before, they have become acclimated to being in captivity and now know when it's feeding time. They're clearly, you know, learning. And so I think it's totally appropriate to call this process where they're making this transition from a larva, it's irreversible. It's possibly the most crucial event of their life. is making this transition in the right place and time, they're assessing the environment around them and they're using that information to inform whether or not that's a correct place to settle, a good place to settle or not. To me, that's a decision.
So is their brain like sort of like an octopus brain maybe or something? Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah. It's not as well studied. I definitely wouldn't go out on a limb and call them octopus-like in their cognitive capacity. Octopods are just amazing. But I'll put it this way. The behaviors of something like a sea star are a little bit harder to study. Octopus have, they have a body form that is more familiar to us in terms of having a brain, having eyes, and like a body organization that we can kind of somehow analogize to what we sort of understand better. And we just don't understand sea stars is the basic point.
Cool. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that, you know, I wanted to emphasize the results that we have that as horrible the wasting disease phenomenon was and how impactful it's been. We have some, you know, hopeful signs. These results with climate change, that they're robust to that, is a very hopeful sign. The fact that we're making progress and being able to breed them through their entire life cycle is a hopeful sign. The fact that we can still find them in the wild, around here at least, all of those are hopeful signs that this species can recover. And more than anything, the fact that there's increasing interest among scientists and non-scientists in the problem gives me hope that we can do something to turn this around.